Perek Dalad, Mishnah Ches. Shisha Devarim Asu Anshi Yericho. There were six things the people of Yericho had the following minhag, which was against the will of the Chachamim. The Chachamim didn't like it. Al Shlosh on three things, Michu B'yadam, the Chachamim reproved them. V'al Shlosh on three things, Lo Michu B'yadam, the Chachamim were not happy with it, but they didn't reprove them for it. V'iluhain, and these are they. So first, the first three will be Shalom Michu B'yadam. The first three are the things that the Chachamim did not reproved them for, but nonetheless were unhappy with what they did. Number one, Markivan Dekalim Kol Hayom, they would graft palm trees, date trees, the whole day of Erev Pesach, even after Chatzos, because in Yericho, it was the Ir Atmar, it was a city of dates. So they'd be Osik the whole day, even on Erev Pesach, even past Chatzos, of, you know, grafting these dates to make them good, because it was so sensitive, if they pushed up even one day, they would lose money, they lose payrolls, they lose fruit, and they don't want to lose anything. So even on Erev Pesach, they were working with their dates, with their palm trees, and the Chacham did not like this, because we know at Chatzos, you gotta stop working. The second thing, V'karchin es Shema. So what does that mean? Karchin's like a sandwich. They would sandwich Shema. So it means like this, there's a couple different ways to explain this. The Gemara brings down from Rabbi Yehuda, that they, when they were saying Shema, they wouldn't say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vod. Remeir and the Gemara would say that they didn't make a hefsek from when they would say Echad to when they would say V'ahavta Es Hashem Elokecha. Meaning also, they didn't say Baruch Shem, not only that, but you're supposed to stop. You're supposed to say Echad, right? Stretch it out a little bit, and then go into the rest of it. So they didn't stretch it out, and they didn't say Baruch Shem. They just went straight into V'ahavta, which is not the right way to say Shema. So, and the third thing was V'kotzen V'godshin Lefnei HaOmer. They would harvest and they would heap before the Omer. Meaning, the rule is that you cannot harvest your grains in Eretz Yisrael, right, anything from the five grains, before Lefnei Ksiyas HaOmer, before the Omer, for the carbon Omer is harvested. It's learned that from a pasuk. And when is this all said? This is when the harvesting that you would be harvesting, the ktir shiroi l'havi b'mena omer, that if what you're harvesting, you'll bring from it the omer, which is the general five grains. But this rule would not apply if you were harvesting from a base hashlachin sheba amakim. A base hashlachin in the amakim is a valley, meaning a field which is in a valley, okay, that's dependent upon people to irrigate it and not just, you know, the rain from the heaven. So this kind of field, since its grains are garua, they're more inferior because they need people to be watering them, and you can't bring a carbon omer from it. So here there was an exception, that you were actually able to harvest it even before the omer was brought, right? But the Chum said that granted you could harvest it, but you can't pile it up in heaps. Because if you pile it up in heaps, you might come to eat it, and you certainly can't eat it before you bring the carbon omer. Right? But the people of Yericho, their fields were in a valley, and not only would they harvest it, they would also heap it up, which was against the will of the Chachamim. So in these three things, they didn't reprove them, but they weren't happy with it. And the following three things are the ones that Chachamim did reprove them for. Matimin Gamzios Shel Hektish. So what that means is that there used to be these soft branches that grew from either carob trees or sycamore trees that were designated as hektish. And the people of Yericho would permit the branches for themselves, for their own pleasure. Because they would say that our forefathers, they made these trees hektish because they didn't want people to steal the actual trunk, the actual body of the tree. Right? And that's what they made it as hektish. So now it's to the base of mikdash, no one could steal it. But the branches that sprouted afterwards, those aren't asr because of hektish. And therefore, they would have hana from the branches that grew afterwards from these trees, even though the trees themselves are hektish. And the Chachamim actually reproved them for that. The second thing was, ve'ochle mitachas hanasharim b'Shabbos. They would eat fruit that was found under a tree on Shabbos, even though they didn't know whether it fell off before Shabbos and it would be permissible to be eaten, or if it fell off on Shabbos, and really it's muktzah, it's nolad, and it can't be eaten, they would eat it anyway. And the Chachamim reproved them for that. And the third thing was, v'nosen pe'el yerek, they would give peya for vegetables, meaning a vegetable, okay, is exempt from the halacha of peya, from taking a corner of your field, leaving it for the poor people. It applies to your grains, but not to your vegetables. And the reason is because a person does not bring, or pay applies, right? Pay as you leave the corner of the field for the poor people to eat. It applies to food that is machas lakiyim. You bring it in and it lasts a long time, like grains. But vegetables will rot, so it doesn't apply to vegetables. So therefore, you don't do paya on vegetables. But they would do it anyway. And the rule is that anything that has paya on it, right, is exempt from maaser. Anything that does not have paya is chayav in maaser. So the people of Yericho would leave paya on the vegetables, on the yirakim, even though they shouldn't have been doing it. And then it would come out, they'd remove it from the maaser that it really should be chayav in. Because regular, you know, produce is chayav in maaser, but paya is not. So you take something that's not supposed to be paya and make it paya, then you mafkia, you remove it from, you know, having the principle of maaser being applicable to it. Why? Because poor people would eat, because this paya was set aside for the poor people to eat without them having to think of maaser. So by you taking something that's supposed to be, you know, maaser, and then you make it into paya for poor people to eat, and you're not going to take off maaser now, you're doing the wrong thing. They reproved them on these three things, on the branches of hectus they were eating, they really should have been asr b'hana. And the fruit that they were found under the tree on Shabbos really should have been mukta, right? Because it's a suffix, so we're going to be stringent. And you don't leave, you know, vegetables as peya in your field, because they're not obligated in peya. And don't start, you know, trying to avoid giving off maisa by, you know, leaving the vegetables for the poor people. Okay. That concludes Mishnah Ches, and these three things the Chum did reprove them for. Moving right along to Mishnah Tes. Shisha Devarim, six things, Asa Chizkiyah HaMelech, King Chizkiyah did, Al Shlosha Hodulo, on three things the Chachamim agreed with him, V'al Shlosha Lo Hodulo, on three things they did not agree with him. Number one, Ger Asmus Aviv, he dragged the bones of his father. His father was Achaz HaMelech, Achaz the king, he was a big Rasha. And he dragged his bones almita on a bed shechavalim of ropes, meaning that he didn't give like kavu b'chavod. He didn't give him a proper or honorable burial like all the other kings had, because he wanted this to atone. They look apart by bezionah that this scornful, you know, burial should atone for his sins. And it should also make a kiddush Hashem that the wicked people, you know, will suffer. And he's showing that the wicked people suffer. So that was one thing he did. V'hodulo, and the Chacham agreed to what he did. The second thing was kites nechash hanechoshes. So the pasuk says that Chizkiyah had removed all the bamos. Bamos were like these portable mizbeachs. He removed them all from the Jews. And he also removed the Nechash and Nechoshes. So in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, right, he made this copper snake, okay? And in Moshe had made this copper snake in order, you know, for the Jews to be healed. This is going on a totally different parsha. But the idea here is that what happened was it got out of hand. The people were using it actually as an Avodah Zarah. They were being Machzer Ketores. They were offering incense as a sacrifice to it. So then already, you know, they couldn't have it around. V'hodulo, Chum agreed to Chizkiyah to what he did, because they took this, you know, this holy copper snake that was once upon a time healing them when Moshe Rabbeinu was alive, and they turned it into an Avodah Zarah. So of course they agreed to Chizkiyah that he crushed it up. He crushed it and removed it. The third thing was Gana Sefer Refuos. He hid the Sefer Refuos. So there was a Sefer called Sefer Refuos, the Book of Remedies. It was from Shlomo HaMelech. Right? And if a person got sick, they would open up the book, follow what it says, and they'd be healed. And then, you know, people lost their betachah, their faith in God, and people weren't praying to God when they got sick, because they knew they could just open up the book, this special, you know, magical book, follow the remedy there and get healed. So Chizkiyah hid it in order that the Jews should strengthen their emunah, you know, and rely on Hashem and daven to Hashem. Chizkiyah was a very big tzaddik. And on this also, v'hodulo, the Chacham agreed to him. And then lastly, al shlosha lo hodlo, on these three things the Chacham did not agree to him, kitzitz dlasosh shel heichal v'shigon lamelech Ashur. So he removed, they say over here like this, he removed from the doors of the heichal, they were plated with gold. So he removed the gold plating and he sent it to the king of Ashur in order to appease him so they shouldn't wage war with Chizkiyah. Lo hodlo, Chacham were not happy with that, because he should have put his emunah in Hashem and not start, you know, taking apart the parts of the heichal in order to appease the enemy king. Second thing was sasam. Lo hodlo, Chacham did not greet him. Okay, Second thing was Sasam Megichon HaElyon. He closed up the waters from the upper Gichon. There was a spring over there, and he closed it up so that the troops of Ashur should not, you know, access it. And he also wanted to do this to protect himself and his people from the enemy. V'lo hodulo. And again, Chum did not agree to him because he should have had Betachon in Hashem instead. And of course, one could ask, you know, he's trying to defend his people. What's wrong with what he's doing? But Lamaisa, the Navi Yeshaya had told him that he'll be okay. Right? And if he's also, you know, sealing up the waters, then he's going to make it bad for his own people. They can't access the waters. So, you know, according to Chizkiah, he's a very big tzaddik, and the Navi told him that he'll be okay. He shouldn't have been doing these things. This is, of course, according to his Madrega. And lastly, Iber Nisan bin Nisan. So he made an Iber Yar, you know, like a Jewish leap year, not in the appropriate time. Meaning, after Nisan already, the month of Nisan came in, Nimlach, he decided to make an Adar Shini, a second Adar. Like this year, we have two Adars, right? In order to push off the Yontif of Pesach. Okay? And the Gemara does explain that he didn't mamish make it an Iber Yar in Nisan, right? But he made the Iber Yar on the 30th day of Adar. So that's no good. Why? V'lo hodul Acham did not agree to him, because you can't make an Iber Yar on the 30th day of Adar, because Hayal V'royal Kovei Nisan, meaning since the month of Adar, in a normal year, right, it's always chaser, it's always missing the 30th day, it's only 29 days in the month. So, right, so the 30th day is really technically Nisan. So since that day technically in a normal year is Nisan, even in this Iber Yar, when the 30th day is still Adar, you can't use that day to make it an Iber Yar, because technically you would be a Nisan in a normal year. So basically, the only time to make an Iber Yar to make an extra Adar is when you're in Adar, right? And if you're stretching out the year, making a second Adar on the 29th day of Adar, I'm sorry, on the 30th day of Adar, even though you're still in Adar, but in a normal year, Adar would be 29 days, so we look at that 30th day as if he, you know, kind of went into Nisan already. So again, according to his Madreka, he did the wrong thing, and the Chal did not agree to him with, you know, with these last three things that he did. And that's the concept. So normally, to stretch out a year, it's gotta be done before Nisan. Here, you know, what he did was, he did it on the 30th day, which was an Adar, but technically, in a normal day, that would have been when Nisan already started. And therefore, you know, they didn't like what he did, and it was if he did an Iber Yar in the wrong time. Okay? And that concludes Perek Daled.